because of our agriculture-based society, and despite the influences of modernization, the great majority of queer males here are transgendered. The butch middle-class gays do not like to be associated with the poor effeminates.
We came up with the idea of building an internet presence where people all around the world can go to talk about sports with other gay men and lesbians, and that's what it is.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. The Swedish government and American pediatricians adopt progressive positions on parenting, Filipino activists confront class conflict and the closet, and a cyber sports site champions queer fans and jocks. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Dean Elzinga.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 9th, 2002. Sweden's government this week presented a draft bill to extend adoption rights to gay and lesbian couples. Although Sweden has for years offered registered partnerships granting same-gender couples most of the benefits of marriage, adoption rights have until now been specifically excluded. The government's bill would allow both for one partner to adopt the other's children and for couples to adopt an unrelated child together. The bill is expected to be introduced in the parliament in March and to win a vote there in June. Social Democratic Member of Parliament Marianne Carlström told reporters, "Many children are growing up in homosexual families, and this is about their rights."
Another ringing endorsement of adoption rights for same-gender couples came this week from the American Academy of Pediatrics. The respected 55,000-member Association of Physicians Working with Children issued a policy statement entitled Co-Parent or Second Parent Adoption by Same-Sex Parents. It calls on courts and legislatures to give what may be 9 million children of U.S. gays and lesbians what it called the security of two legally recognized parents. Currently, only three U.S. states have explicitly established second-parent adoptions through legislation, and four more through appellate court rulings, although some trial courts have granted them in about half the states. The laws of three states, Florida, Mississippi, and Utah, effectively prohibit second-parent adoptions. The American Academy of Pediatrics declared that there is a considerable body of professional literature that suggests children with parents who are homosexual have the same advantages and the same expectations for health, adjustment, and development as children whose parents are heterosexual. But the Academy is concerned that most of those children do not enjoy the same security as others in terms of health and survivor benefits, child support, or the guarantee of a continuing relationship with the co-parent should the biological or adoptive parent fall ill, die, or separate. While religious right groups were quick to criticize the relevant research and to accuse the Academy of succumbing to political correctness, Academy spokespeople insisted that the issue is not politics, but the best interests of the children. The pediatrician's policy statement is expected to have significant impact, in part because the group is viewed as more conservative than others which have issued similar resolutions, such as the American Psychological Association.
The more liberal National Education Association, the U.S. largest teachers union, also waded into political controversy with a new set of recommendations for making schools safer for gays and lesbians. This week, the board of the gay-supportive 2.6 million-member NEA approved the results of a months-long study by its task force on sexual orientation. The group will not only be calling on school districts to establish strong policies against anti-gay harassment and discrimination against students and school employees, but will be encouraging them to provide classroom discussions on homosexuality. It specified that those discussions should be age-appropriate, non-judgmental, and relevant to curricula, and the NEA will offer what it called accurate, objective, and up-to-date information to that end. A growing number of U.S. school districts have established policies against anti-gay harassment. A bill requiring school districts to do so was passed this week in the Washington State House by an overwhelming 81-16. The bill now moves to the Washington Senate, which passed a similar measure last year.
The Boy Scouts of America this week renewed the policy of discrimination against gay men that it successfully defended before the U.S. Supreme Court in 2000. The BSA National Executive Board said in a statement that it reaffirmed its view that an avowed homosexual cannot serve as a role model for the traditional moral values espoused in the Scout Oath and law, and that these values cannot be subject to local option choices. Three proposed resolutions to modify the controversial policy were sent to a committee.
Charleston this week became the first city in West Virginia to enact a hate crimes ordinance, including sexual orientation as a protected category. West Virginia's state hate crimes law does not include homophobic attacks. The state capital's city council voted by an overwhelming 23-3 to augment sentences for hate-motivated attacks by up to $500 and 30 days in jail.
The lead plaintiffs in a lawsuit to win domestic partner health benefits from Montana's state university system barely escaped an arson attack on their home this week. Missoula lesbian couple Adrian Neff and Professor Carla Grayson had to scramble out a bedroom window with their baby when the house was set afire at 3 a.m. The house was gutted. The couple had received hate mail, including death threats, after a press conference this week announcing the lawsuit brought by the American Civil Liberties Union. ACLU Lesbian and Gay Rights Project Director Matt Coles said, "Whoever set this fire did not intend simply to frighten or intimidate this family. They meant to kill them." Police are considering the arson attack an attempted triple homicide, and federal officials are assisting in the investigation.
Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe renewed his homophobic rhetoric in launching the most hotly contested election campaign of his two-decade regime. Speaking to a rally of his ZANU-PF party, he vowed to jail gays in Zimbabwe and to punish any attempts to form what he called homosexual clubs. He taunted Britain for its openly gay cabinet members, remarking that, "I have people who are married in my cabinet. British Prime Minister Tony Blair has homosexuals, and they make John marry Joseph and let Mary get married to Rosemary." He joked this meant they did not know as much biology as his own dogs and pigs.
In fact, Britain does not legally recognize same-gender couples, much less marry them. But the domestic partners of those gay cabinet members and other unmarried members of parliament are expected to receive spousal pension benefits soon, the cabinet office announced this week. The enabling amendments to the parliamentary pension scheme are expected to be approved in October, following a study by pension trustees that the parliament had ordered last year.
Egypt's campaign against gay men continued this week with the conviction of four Cairo-area men who were each sentenced to 3 years in prison, followed by 3 years probation. According to Igal Herc, the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, the prosecution presented almost no evidence against them, and the judge had described them in abusive language before their hearing took place. One of the men told an Igal Herc representative that the four had been beaten and ill-treated during the 4 months of incarceration since their November 10th arrests. Those arrests had been announced immediately after the verdicts were pronounced on 52 men arrested in a police raid on a gay-inclusive Nile riverboat club. Another eight gay men who will be tried soon in Damanhour are already being referred to in the press as the Behera Perverts Group. To Igal Herc, these and other cases amount to a pattern of persecution, and the group denounced the U.S. and Europe for giving billions in foreign aid to the Egyptian government.
Igal Herc is not alone in its protests. Openly gay U.S. Congressmember Barney Frank refused an invitation from the Egyptian government with an open letter denouncing its treatment of gay men. 6,000 French citizens, including some major celebrities, signed a letter of protest to Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak in advance of his upcoming visit to Paris. Antwerp's Gay and Lesbian Community Center, Het Rose House, or Pink House, had Egypt's ambassador to Belgium come for a visit and grilled him about the riverboat raid. He told them that the case had nothing to do with the persecution of homosexuality, but with the defendant's debauchery and contempt of religion, which could be equally punished for non-gays.
There have been several developments regarding Jose Montero since he became the first Roman Catholic priest in Spain to publicly identify himself as a gay man last week. Montero's bishop announced that he must regretfully withdraw Montero's ministerial licenses for having broken his vow of celibacy and having failed to show up to celebrate Mass on the Sunday following his announcement. Indeed, Mantero had largely disappeared in the face of a continuing media firestorm, although he did make a television appearance this week in which he declared his desire to continue as a priest. There were expressions of support for him from his parishioners, although they had been as surprised as anyone by his coming out in the Spanish gay magazine Zero. Spain's Association of Gays and Lesbians has called for Spaniards to stop financially supporting the Catholic Church until it ceases insulting and condemning gays and lesbians. And Carlos Alberto Biendico, a gay leader within Spain's ruling People's Party, a party which has generally blocked gay support of legislation, threatened to out three bishops he claims to have had sex with in retaliation for any punishment of Mantero.
And finally, the Roman Catholic Church came in for more criticism as the annual Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras launched in Australia this week. The three-week festival leading up to the climactic parade opened with a gathering of 20,000 people at the Sydney Opera House. Keynote speaker for the event was Nan McGregor, the mother of a gay man who was herself denied communion by now Archbishop George Pell when she joined the Rainbow Sash campaign in support of gay and lesbian Catholics. McGregor told the crowd, "Being told by Archbishop Pell to remove my sash if I really wished to receive communion was to me the epitome of hypocrisy. I was, in effect, being asked to choose between the church of my birth and my gay child, and I would always choose my child."
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 9th, 2002. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Dean Elzinga.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
Later in the program, we'll log on to an online locker room where lesbian and gay sports enthusiasts are staying on top of all the action. But first, let's return to the Philippines.
Decided is that pro-gay as an organization should help develop a positive gay identity for many gay Filipinos. As long as there's no change in economy and politics, all our cultural efforts to address stigma and discrimination will go to waste.
That was Oscar Atadero, Secretary of Pro-Gay, the progressive organization of gays in the Philippines. Last time on This Way Out, Atadero described the founding of Pro-Gay and its politics and activities in the context of his country's long history of foreign domination, government corruption, and class struggle. In the second half of his presentation, Atadero discusses the issue of identity, which is a major factor in Pro-Gay's organizing strategy.
Historically, most Filipino queer males that we call gay here in the Philippines are actually transgendered or female-identified bakla. They may either cross-dress or they are straight-acting. Because of our agriculture-based society and despite the influences of modernization, the great majority of queer males here are transgendered. Queer females are also transgendered and they're called tomboys. Here in Manila, bakla does not really translate into gay. The bakla prefers masculine partners who do not self-identify as gay or bisexual. Most bakla here in the Philippines are feminine, and because of that outward feminine feature, most have feminine jobs also, like salon workers, dressmakers. Some have small businesses, but mostly it's about fashion and entertainment. Some are engaged in paid sex work. A few men here who have sex with other men have become westernized gay males. They prefer other gay or bisexual males. They are more versatile in their sexual roles, more versatile than the traditional bakla. They tend to be upper class. They make living as professionals. They're, They could either be doctors, office workers, supervisors. They work in food services. These two groups are separated by homophobia and classism because they tend to have different class backgrounds and a different class outlook. The butch middle-class gays do not like to be associated with the poor effeminates. They have separate meeting places. They avoid being seen. They hide their gay identity. They go to expensive bars in a few city centers, have better access to information about sexual health. They have better health care, incomes, housing. But they mostly are closeted. They don't want to get involved in activities that are too gay. On the other hand, the effeminate bakla, they cannot afford to visit bars, and they have sex in the streets near their houses. And they live in congested communities with little water, power, education, and most of the time are unemployed. And so you see sexual identity in the Philippines can also be linked to your class position and your class standpoint. Our members are bakla, so when you say gay, that means about 9 out of 10 are bakla, are cross-dressers, or even if they don't cross-dress, they self-identify as females. We do have a few members who are gay in a Western sense. We think identity is important because if there is no identity, it's very hard to organize. Gay identity is not that well developed here in the Philippines. Gay youth who are growing up find it very hard to join gay organizations because they think it's evil and it should not be encouraged. So even the cross-dressing bakla do not have positive gay identity. That's why we are engaged in pride activities. And we also involve the non-gay population, especially the parents of the bakla and the gays. We try to hold very small gatherings, street parties, street dances, where gays could interact with the other sectors of society. By putting the word gay in streamers and banners and in the printed leaflets, the straight community would get used to the idea of having a gay identity, a normal and accepted culture in a village community. We invite the media to witness these small community events, and when the media transmit this image to the general population, many isolated bakla and gays, even in the villages all around the Philippines who are not members of pro-gay, they pick up the influence and they would by themselves develop an identity that is healthy, that is that would make them feel that they are part of the community. I think in the last 7 years that pro-gay has been trying to build that identity-based politics, we have already arrived at a situation where gay issues are already tackled in some political community activities. Some municipal and city councils are already talking about gay rights, and by making ourselves politically visible, gay identity improves, and that improves, again, our political standing. And there is some positive spiral going around.
was Oscar Atadero, secretary of ProGay, the progressive organization of gays in the Philippines. His presentation was produced by Michael Schembri.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
The Winter Olympic Games are reminding the world of the role of sports in promoting tolerance and goodwill. Sid Ziegler and Jim Buzinski tapped into the fascination with athletics that's alive and well in the lesbigay community when they created Outsports.com. It's an online forum for fans and players alike, covering everything from local queer leagues to mainstream professional sports. And it has lots of people cheering, including This Way Out correspondent Rita Gonzalez.
Outsports.com we call the home for gay sports fans and athletes. It started 2 years ago when my business partner Jim and I were on Cape Cod on vacation together and wanted to come away with it with a project we could work on together. It was when the internet was just starting to get going and it was on the front page of the Wall Street Journal every day. And he was reading the Wall Street Journal and we just started talking about how there's nothing out there for gay sports fans. And we came up with the idea of building an internet presence where people all around the country, around the world, can go to talk about sports with other gay men and lesbians. And that's what it is. It's a safe place where gay men and lesbians can read about each other, read about themselves, read about the NFL or the NBA from a gay perspective.
What I liked about the site is it was user-friendly. I'm not all that internet savvy. You know, I go on something, I want to get to it right away.
Well, it's Jim has an extensive background in newspaper business. He was the only openly gay sports editor for years and years and years with the Long Beach Press-Telegram. And he has really brought the newspaper design to the website. So many websites got into the, let's make it flashy and let's make it exciting and let's make it all these different things. But people just want information. They want it easy and accessible. And they want it broken into logical divisions. And that's what we've done. We've just taken, it's sort of a newspaper online. We have an incredibly active discussion board. But it's really interesting to go on there. You get a couple things. One, gay men really know what they're talking about when it comes to sports, as do lesbians. I mean, they know the ins and outs of sports. They know who's playing. They're more knowledgeable than when I go onto the discussion boards on ESPN. The other thing is that comes across in the discussion board is a definite difference in the way gay men and lesbians watch sports than straight men watch sports. There is a sexual aspect when a gay man watches the NFL or a lesbian watches the WNBA. There'll be a discussion about how good the Indianapolis Colts are, but in the same discussion, there'll be talk about how cute Peyton Manning, their quarterback, is. It's a real distinction that comes out in the discussion board.
You have various topics. You have the discussion room. Mm-hmm. You have featured articles on various players. What's the clubhouse?
Clubhouse is where somebody can post information about themselves. It's there so you can find other people in your community to throw a football or to invite over to watch a basketball game or just to talk online, to really build the community. And that's the biggest part to me and to Jim of Outsports. We find it hard to define the gay community. Not only growing, but it is incredibly strong. When I went to the Gay Softball World Series in San Francisco, it was amazing to see gay men and lesbians having fun together, and they all knew each other. There's a history that's built through these local gay sports events where you go from Los Angeles, but you meet people from Minneapolis and Fort Lauderdale and Boston, and you see them again and again and again, and you stay in touch with them over email and hopefully, you know, discussion boards like the one we have at Outsports. And so there's a real community that's built around sports, and that's the way sports have always been. We have daily updates. We do a daily tops and bottoms, which is who did well and who didn't do so well in sports that day. And then we have current updates on all of the major sports leagues.
But you don't just do national sports, you do local sports too.
Right. Yeah, that's something that we're really trying to build out. We list 300 gay and lesbian sports teams around the world on our website. We know there are many, many more. There are gay men and lesbians playing every one of these sports, from martial arts to ping pong to badminton, at every level, from the local level to the professional level to the Olympic level. NAGA, the North American Gay Amateur Athletic Association, they sponsor a national softball league. And they have tens of thousands of members playing in hundreds of cities and hundreds of teams. And it's really expansive. So we're really getting more into that with, you know, there are local gay sports tournaments every weekend of the year. There are people playing it all over the country. Yeah, so we're really trying to cover that more and more. It's a little difficult with no money and only two of us running it.
I was going to ask you that. Now, it's just the two of you?
There are two of us running it. We have some writers across the country who do write occasionally for us. We have a guy who does our men's and women's tennis. We have somebody who writes a baseball column every couple of weeks. So we do have people out there who just want to write, but the majority of it is the two of us. Like when we wanted to cover the Gay Softball World Series, I went up to San Francisco in August for 3 days and covered it myself.
I'm sure you're looking for help out there then.
Yeah, well, we're definitely always looking for writers who want to come on and write. We are particularly looking for women right now because we do want to reach out more to women. We have one columnist right now, Mindy Tanner, who writes maybe once a month. But yeah, we're really looking for women to help us cover women's sports, both local and national.
Now, how do people reach you?
There's an email address, mail@outsports.com, or my email address is Cyd, C-Y-D, @outsports.com. And we get, you know, a lot of mail. People writing in anywhere from the hate mail, you know, you're all going to hell, how can you be gay, to somebody in Buffalo, New York, or somebody in St. Louis, Missouri, or anywhere around the world saying, oh my God, I can't believe there are other gay men that enjoy sports. And we're building a really active community out of it. Part of so many people we encounter don't want to get into sports because they never played it or they're not good or kids tease them when they were in school. Who cares? The more important thing about sports is to have fun, not to be the best or to win or lose. And yeah, that's part of it. It's just about having fun and building community. There are entry points on our website that if you're not into sports, you just might find yourself tuning into Monday Night Football after you take a look. And so many gay men that we encounter are so afraid of taking late in life interest in sports because of that, because they're afraid if they play basketball, they're going to miss a shot, or if they play football, they're going to drop a pass, or if they watch baseball, someone will refer to a double play and they won't know what it means. But who cares? Sports are there to have fun. And there aren't a lot of people, especially in the gay world, who are going to judge you for a lack of understanding in sports. Take it up. Turn on the baseball game or go out there and throw a football around and see what happens. You just might like it.
And you can see the website. It's outsports.com, which is very easy to remember.
Very easy.
That was Rita Gonzalez talking with Cyd Ziegler, co-founder of outsports.com. Outsports.com recently entered a content partnership with Planet Out, which also licenses the internet rights to This Way Out. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Dean Elzinga, Graham Underhill, Brian Nunes, Jason Lynn, Chris Ambidge, Rex Walkner, Michael Schembri, and Rita Gonzalez contributed program material. Some of the music you heard came from Fiesta Filipina, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on multimedia, then on radio. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. To learn how you can help keep This Way Out on the air, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening on WDIY Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, KEOS College Station, Texas, 2XX Canberra, Australia, Capital Territory, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now, y'all, stay tuned.